Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Third down and goal, back to the air. Touchdown, Wicks, wide open. Green Bay takes the early lead.
Of Josh Jacobs making people miss.
And now, touchdown, Jacobs.
Creative and given a lot of different looks.
Here's a handoff for the touchdown to Chris Brooks. Play action, Rattlers in trouble, ball's out. Keyshawn Nixon had the pressure and forced the fumble.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, I mean, we did what we needed to do, and so I thought we came out of the gates the way we needed to. And
oh, it's big time. You know, that's something that obviously the goal is Super Bowl. So that's the first step right there, is making the playoffs. Obviously, this was a big time game to clinch that spot.
What's really cool is you're getting contributions from a lot of different people. So I think that is usually the mark of a good team. You know, you got to stay healthy and continue to build on what you've done.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Obviously, we lost them early in the season. So, you know, one of these games that we got to get back. We got to go win this game. And we talked about it earlier. We got to be able to beat these good teams. So the Vikings are a very good team, and we got to be able to go into their place and handle business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
My name is
how's the poll? Still getting smoked.
Okay. I
but
just
you know
tried
what?
To help.
It's 100% here, so who cares?
Yeah.
That song you hear is the Chewy proposed new touchdown song to replace Todd Rundgren's infamous bang on the drum. The song's synonymous with Packers and touchdowns and success and Super Bowls. Today we decided on Christmas Eve, the eve of JC's birthday, that we want to change it to a Kid Rock song from 1999.
Not happening.
What's the issue?
I think we can, and we have to obviously approve it with the two other members of the show. I think we can make it our new song. So instead of, as we hear on our after every Packers post game.
Yeah, I'm in line with that.
I think we can.
What do you think the cutoff is in age? Because clearly the Codgers are voting for Todd
yes.
Rundgren.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
60?
I would say, because how old were you in 1999 when the song came out? You were...
I was born in 69, so...
Nice.
Hell yeah, brother.
Math?
You were 30. You were 30.
30?
Perfect. 69 I was 30. Plus 99. Yeah. 69. It couldn't be more clear.
Yeah, looking back... that falls in the category of the 100 thing. Just 65, 45 feels like 100.
Yes. Infamously, you stood up in front of everybody and made that statement. Math has never been your strong suit. If you're confused, no. I'm Josh DiMaggio here alongside Mark Chamorro. We are in today on Christmas Eve recapping the Packers 34-0 shutout of the New Orleans Saints on Monday night.
You know what? I wanted to ask Jason. I'll ask you guys.
Yes.
Because if they do, I mean, there's a possibility they could lose against Minnesota. And there's a possibility they could get the 7 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to play Philly right out of the gate? Or no?
I don't think Philly is so good if they are healthy and if they have Jalen Hurts. They did it in their previous game, which was a large reason why they ended up losing to the Commanders. I think any time you play them is a bad time to play them because they are one of the presumptive Super Bowl favorites. Now, the Packers are becoming one.
Yes.
A win against the Vikings would be one of the things that cements them as one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. It's just the NFC North is so strong that three of the best teams in the NFC are all in one division, and then you tack on the Philadelphia Eagles. I think a warm-up game would be nice, making it further, getting in there, because if you can knock out that first game, in that scenario, if you are the 7, would you go Eagles and then Lions? Back-to-back games?
Probably.
I mean, what?
No, I know, I know, I know.
I think you only want to take out one of those.
But Josh, it's realistic.
It is.
It's yes. very realistic.
With a loss to the Vikings next week, the Packers are basically a coin flip to be the seventh seed.
Because Washington has Atlanta, which they should beat.
You
and,
would think so.
Dallas or the Giants, which they should beat.
Yeah, I think you want to only have to face one of the Eagles and Cowboys just because it's two road games.
And then you'd be facing Detroit off of a bye.
Yes. And you could maybe hopefully get some of that rust factor. But playing two of...
Out of the gate.
At the end of the season, there are going to be four clear leaders for the Super Bowl odds. The Chiefs are going to be first. They're going to maintain that because they've lost only one game and probably will only lose one unless they rest their starters in Week 18. Having to face the second and third best odds to win the Super Bowl in back-to-back weeks, I mean, that just sets you up for failure. Does it not?
Or springboard,
and then you're facing what, like the Vikings in the NFC Championship game, which you would feel good about in a game because they are not. I only want to see one of those two teams because I think the Packers with their...
So this is a huge game.
Yes. I think it's the biggest game of the season. It was for a while that Lions game, which they ended up losing by a field goal, just because that kept the division alive. The division fully went to rest last weekend, and now it's trying to jockey for seeding.
Yeah.
The Packers are going to be probably like the best 6 or 7 seed in NFL history. Now, obviously, there's only been 7 teams making the playoffs for so long, but it's pretty unprecedented for 3 of the best 6 or 7 teams in all the NFL to come from one division. I think playing in the division is probably to the Packers' benefit, even though the Vikings and Lions seem to be pretty good teams. But common opponents, things get squirrely. And if you're going to be on the road to those games, you would rather be a division opponent than an uncommon opponent.
Because of familiarity?
Yeah, I think so. Especially if you end up losing and at that 7 seed,
yeah.
You would feel pretty good about facing both of those teams who you lost twice to this year. Because as you say all the time, beating a team 3 times in a year is very, tough. Very difficult.
And that game has been bumped to a 325, which is good because they're on a short week.
Yes.
So that helps them out. Has the line stayed the same at 2.5?
The line is 1.5 right now.
It's dropped.
It has. So, I mean, that line is implying that Vegas has the Green Bay Packers as a better football team right now.
Because of the 3 points.
Yes, because you when you go on the road, you do get a 3-point home field advantage. So 1.5 is basically just the Packers are, you would say here, a 1.5-point better team on a neutral site.
Yeah, but Christian Watson hurts.
Yes.
Because you're not taking tops off of anything anymore, and they can adjust coverage-wise. I mean, do we think he is definitely out? I didn't see the play.
It didn't look bad. He did stay on the ground. He had a nice run. It was one of those jet sweeps. They ran, how many guys carried the ball in this game? I think it was like it was up to bunch. 7 or 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people carried the ball because Malik Willis got a couple carries himself towards the end of the game there. It was an end around. He got tackled on the sideline and someone landed on his knee. He did stay in the game, but then they pulled him out because they thought he was unable to do the things necessary, mainly blocking, running routes.
So to me, it doesn't sound structurally. It sounds like a bruise.
Possibly, but Matt LaFleur saying it was concerning.
Yeah, but that could be smoke and mirrors, though.
It could be, but they...
He loves playing the smoke and mirrors.
Oh, he loves playing games, and he hates talking about injuries or giving any indication about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But losing him for a significant amount of time would be damaging. If it is a, hey, we're putting him on the shelf for the final 2 weeks and getting him ready to go for the playoffs, I'm fine with it. You obviously like your chances less because he's been playing really good ball.
Yeah.
And he's become an asset on the offense in a way we haven't really seen since he had that rookie season.
Yeah.
So I am concerned about it because I think the offense is just inherently less explosive without him.
Well, it's just, there's no, I mean, who's your next fastest guy? Wicks?
I think it would be Wicks, and surprisingly, I mean, it's we not didn't Dobbs. See him much. No, we know that's not the case. It might honestly be Luke Musgrave, who I didn't
know he was active.
He was one of the, last year, he was one of the fastest players in training camp. He was hitting like 20 plus miles per hour on their little GPS thing.
Yeah.
So I think that could be an asset in a way to kind of get a deep threat. But, I mean, you're going to be sending Wicks out there. Bo Melton also provides it, but he's Bo Melton. He's not Christian Watson, who you would feel much more comfortable with kind of taking that
role. Would you have played Jair? I think I would have. I would have played him a little bit to get his feet under him because, you know, I've missed games and then came back for that first one, and there's rust.
Yeah, the Jair thing's very interesting to me. I don't know what to make of it. Matt LaFleur said he didn't feel like he was ready. Jair is known to get up for the big games. He loves facing number one wide receivers. He loves facing Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, obviously, who he'll be seeing this weekend as well. The problem with knocking the rust off is every game Jair plays, it's more likely he doesn't play the next game. And that's just the situation we're at. Since he sustained that injury in 2021 against Najee Harris, I believe he just truck-sticked him.
The shoulder injury?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jair has missed more games than he's played.
Yeah.
He has become entirely unreliable. It was last week people were tweeting out the stats. Like, he has played 10 snaps since October, too.
I know, but I don't think he can get rid of the guy. Let's say they don't win it this year, and like I said, next year's their push to do it. I mean, you can't. They don't, because you're going to lose Stokes. They're not paying Stokes.
No. I think they could if it's extremely cheap and bring him back just kind of as a body. I think this is Jair's last year with the Green Bay Packers.
I don't think you can do it.
I think they believe in Keyshawn Nixon, they believe in Carrington Valentine, and they believe they can backfill and get there and build that cornerback room back up. I think they feel scorned.
Oh, I agree.
I think Halfley, yes, and LaFleur, well, don't know if they can trust that guy to be on the field. I think when he's on the field, they trust him implicitly.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they're so much scorned. I don't think they're running the show when it comes to him. Yes. I don't think they can say you're playing and he's not going to listen to him.
But because you assume he's running his own show.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I agree. You can't have that. You don't want that in a locker room, but I mean, does his value outweigh the fact that he's a pain in the ass?
I think it does this year, but I think with the amount of money he would be owed to be that unreliable, like, he's basically being put on like a LeBron or Joel Embiid type schedule here. We just need you for the playoffs. Stay healthy. We'll get you some time when you can. I don't think they feel satisfied with what they've gotten from Jair in the past 2 years. And it's simply reliability. Are you on the field or are you not?
Then you know what? Then they should have went out and got Lattimore.
Yeah.
If that's going to be their position with this guy, that he's only going to play 8 games a year.
I think they.
Because Josh, at the end of the day, you're going to have to address the defensive line.
Yes,
you got to address that. So, I mean, you can't address everything. And I'm telling you, I was sitting there watching the game with the family, and I'm like, I could see Halfley getting a head coaching job. I really could. He's been a head coach in college. He's turned this defense around, even though the pieces aren't there for him.
Right.
And when you're talking 7 to 9 openings,
I think he might get interviews. I think we're still probably a year away from him truly being considered as a head coach, seen as it is the first time, because he was a secondary coach with the Niners, and then he went to be a head coach with BC.
But he's been a head coach.
He has. He has experience.
You look at Eberflus.
He knows how to handle young.
Never been a head coach. He stunk.
Yes.
Saleh, never been a head coach. He stunk.
Yes.
He got ran out. So there is a threat to hiring a coach that has never been a head coach.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of the retreads that maybe are still out there, like Vrabel's out there. Ben Johnson's a big. But I don't think Jeff Halfley is going to be a long-term option at DC, to no fault of him.
No.
It's to his credit. People are going to come knocking on his door saying,
absolutely,
what you did in Green Bay after what we saw with Joe Barry has been impressive. You took a team where we could point to lack of talent or weaknesses on it, and you put together a top 10 defense. Because if you look across the board, they're now, I believe, like 6th or 7th in scoring defense. And you look into some of those deeper numbers and they're good against the run.
I have something in my gut that says he's going to get a head coaching job.
That would be very bad.
Well, there's Saleh.
There is.
Who would probably be
But then
the
that's
next
also
in line.
Also, are you then going to get into the every 2 years or year or two you're looking at?
It's what happens when you have good teams.
Because I don't think Salah is viewed as poorly as he was in New York.
No.
Because they have buffoon ownership.
Yes,
and
but
being
he could
run
also
by teenagers.
Be he could also be a Ray Rhodes where he's a better coordinator than he is.
That very
coach.
Well may be. He's put together great defenses. The interesting thing is the defense got decidedly a lot worse in New York after Salah left.
Yeah.
He's an asset on the defensive side. Obviously, he's been the consultant. I think I saw him again this week in Green Bay, kind of providing, mm-hmm. giving them some insights. So it's something to be concerned about. I'm not fully there yet. But next year, if they have another top 10 defense, I'm pretty much considering them as good as gone.
Yeah, I just have a feeling this year could be. Because there's so many jobs and there's only so many retreads, you know? Yeah.
We can put that on the poll. Are you worried that Jeff Hafley might end up a head coach next season already? That would not be good for the Packers.
No, he might not want it. He Correct. Might be the Ben Johnson, like, no, I really don't want to go to Chicago. Well, or I really don't want to yes. go there. I'm going to wait one more year.
Ben Johnson's going to have his pick of the litter.
Yeah, so he'll be number one out of the gate.
Yes, everybody's going to call on him, and he's basically going to get to decide where he wants to go.
Yes.
I don't know. Jeff Hafley certainly isn't there. And then when you start looking at it, like, are you going to New Orleans?
I mean, there's Jacksonville. I mean, there's going to be some openings.
Yeah, I just don't know how many of them are that enticing, especially if you have such a good thing going in Green Bay right now.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we got power rankings to do. Rob Domofsky is going to join us in a little bit. We'll ask him about Jeff Hafley and if we're concerned about him going away. But it is a Victory Tuesday, which is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza. Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. We got power rankings coming up next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here with you on Christmas Eve. You know what time it is. It is Tuesday. It's Power Rankings Tuesday time.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's Power Rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay,
had one trouble
glitch,
with that today.
One glitch. That's all I'm giving
There's a
you.
Glitch?
There's one glitchy. It's not a big glitch, but it's a glitch. Give me 10.
10, I'm going to go the Houston Texans.
Ravens.
Ash, you might as well just not even move along here. Josh, you are correct. The Houston Texans are 10. Lost to the Chiefs.
Yep.
Dropped one spot.
Lost Tank Dell as well.
Lost who?
Tank Dell, their second receiver.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That was a bad injury. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. 9.
9, I am going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ashy Bash.
Can I stick with Ravens?
You can do whatever you want.
Ravens.
You're wrong. Okay. Commanders are 9.
Oh, okay.
After beating the Eagles with a hurtless turt.
What did you say?
A hurtless turt?
Well, hurtless because he didn't play. Hurt.
Hurtsless.
They played Hurtsless?
Yeah. Shut up, Richard. 8. 8.
I'm going to stick with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ash.
Rams.
Why do we even consult him? Josh, you're right. The Steelers.
Well, what the hell? Why?
Josh, the Rams are not Josh. Ashy, they're 12. Come on.
Okay, well, you should have told me that first. I wouldn't have guessed them.
Stick with us here.
7.
Ravens.
7. I am going to go your Green Bay Packers.
That is correct. Do you agree with this?
BS. He's 100% looking at this.
I'm looking at the standings.
I don't trust you. I'm also looking at the standings.
All right, let's ask him why he said that. Why did you say Packers at 7? Because they were 6 last week.
Because the Ravens have been impressive. They've won games that are higher stakes. I mean, the Packers, impressive 34-0 shutout, but it was the Saints. So what are you going to do with the Ravens? How are they going to be? I think the Ravens are, despite their record, going to be one of the teams people pick as here's a sneaky Super Bowl team, being really good.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Nashy now, 6. Ashy now, 6.
Lions. Just kidding. Just
the Baltimore
kidding.
Ravens.
Just kidding. It's the Ravens.
See, that was my glitch. I think I would have put Green Bay at 6, Ravens at 7, just because the Ravens are 10-5. Packers are 11-4. But I agree with you, but Ravens are a little schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one game they're really, really good, like against the Steelers here, and then they'll lay an egg. So, all right, 5.
I don't know what to do with 5.
Yeah, because we know what the top 5 are. We just don't know the order.
Yeah. If we're going strictly based on record, this should be the Eagles. But Chewy said there's a glitch. So I'm going to say the glitch is he doesn't agree with the Eagles, despite their loss, being ahead of the Vikings. I'm going to put the Vikings here.
I'm putting Eagles there.
Vikings are 5, but Joshy, my glitch was Ravens and Packers.
Oh, wow.
That was the glitch.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Josh doesn't listen. Classic. Right. Classic Josh. Yeah.
Man after my own heart. Vikings 5 beat the Seahawks barely, so this is setting up for a really good game.
So then, I mean, I think we can run through this pretty easily. Does it go Eagles, Lions, Chiefs?
Bills.
Oh, yep, forgot them.
All right, 4.
I'm saying Eagles.
Eagles.
Buffalo.
Oh, wow.
3.
Whoa, 4?
3.
Then this got to be the Eagles.
Eagles.
2.
Lions. 1. Chiefs.
Correct, but you think the Bills are better than the Eagles?
I don't know if they're
better.
They
played without Hurts.
But the Bills have beat, like, the best teams.
They're, like, destroying
teams. They've lost some weird ones.
Minus the Patriots game, but they're, like, destroying
teams. They beat the Patriots 24-21.
They did.
Now, I know they get bored. That's a boring game.
Yes.
No, I think it's fair.
I think it's fair. I think we did all right there.
I mean, I still
did great.
That was efficient.
I still think.
Oh God!
I still think Philly's better than Detroit. Until Detroit starts getting those players back on defense, which they're not going to get. They're going to get a handful, not a handful, but I think there's 3 guys that are going to come back.
All
and right. Kansas City's getting to that point where it's getting a little scary.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're a real option here to three-peat, which would be something else.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we can't waste any more time. We got a good pal, Rob Domofsky, joining us next. This is Jen Game and Chewy.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
The game has to be a continuation of the trend they're on. They can't just sort of go in on a level that, you know, they've been at. They probably do need to play their best game, but I do think it's trending in the right direction.
A prolific golfer?
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's funny.
And noted hoops head.
If you shoot 60% from the free throw line, you're a bad free throw shooter. If you're 60% in the red zone, I don't think that's good.
It's Rob Domofsky time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This better be a great segment.
So I don't know a ton about Rob Domofsky, but I do know he is a music guy. His favorite band, I believe, is a Gaslight Anthem. Obviously, Springsteen, along with every other sports writer to ever exist. Today, Chewy proposed a replacement, Rob, and I want to hear what you think about this, for the Bang on the Drum song. He wants Kid Rock's Ba With The Ba to replace Todd Rundgren's Bang on the Drum All Day. Are you in favor of switching up? What is a legendary song that has simply become synonymous with the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I'm all for changing up the music at Lambeau because it feels like it's the same music they've been playing since I came here in 1997. So let's get with the times here. And get something at least different, even if it's not any newer.
We're getting huge pushback on the poll. So my guess is, you know, it tracks that the 65 and older crowd are listening to the show and voting.
Well, and to be fair here, getting with the times isn't Kid Rock's 1999 smash hit, Ball with the Ball.
Well, no, but Todd Rundgren's Bang on the Drums is probably like 1969, 70,
I believe
71?
It was 72.
Yeah.
I was looking up was the time for that song. So we would vault ourselves 30 years into the future.
I will say this, Josh. You mentioned my band, the Gaslight Anthem. The New Jersey Devils, now they're from New Jersey, but the New Jersey Devils play one of their songs every time the Devils score a goal. The song is Howl. It's about a 90-second song, H-O-W-L, howl, like a dog or like a wolf howling. So let's get something up there. It doesn't have to be a New Jersey band since this is Wisconsin, but I mean, I don't know.
Actually, I expect to hear that as a play out for
The YouTube ads you're playing right now, so okay. I'll get to it.
Perfect. All right, Rob, I want to talk about the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, that's why you join us here every week. How impressed should we be with the 34-0 shutout of the New Orleans Saints JV squad?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's better than beating them 21-17, right? I mean, like, you know, they didn't prove to anybody that they're any better than we thought they were, but they proved that they're not worse than we thought they were, if that makes sense. Like, they used a lot of guys. I mean, to me, the whole thing about, like, nine guys rushing with a rushing attempt, I realized there was some, you know, a bunch of receivers had end arounds. They played two quarterbacks. I believe all three running backs scored touchdowns, right? Wilson, Jacobs, and Chris Brooks. You had a guy in Zane Anderson making his first start, getting his first career pick. The line from Matt LaFleur was, we've got a lot of guys contributing, which is the sign of a good team. And I think we were just, you know, sort of confirm that.
Rob, is this a must win? Because if they don't, chances, a good chance, they're going to get the 7 seed, which would mean going to Philly and then going to Detroit.
Yes. And not only for seeding purposes, Chewy, but like just to prove they can beat one of those playoff teams before they get to the playoffs. I mean, right, their 4 losses are to Philly, Detroit twice, and Minnesota, right? Those are the best 4 teams probably in the NFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you got to beat one of them now to prove, you know, like, if they don't, what confidence level do you have that they can make a run through the playoffs?
I wouldn't have much.
Yeah.
Especially the route they got to take, yeah.
Yeah. On the flip side, if they do go into U.S. Bank Stadium and win, you feel like, okay, this team can maybe be able to go anywhere, you know, and win on the way to a Super Bowl. So I think it's huge. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Based on what has happened against those teams earlier in the year, you know, you have to win this game.
What's your take on Minnesota? Have you bought in yet? Or are you still like, are you waiting for things to fall apart? Where are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got a good formula. You know, the record over the last 3 years with this coaching staff is impressive. And at some point it doesn't become an accident, right? Like people, they're getting lucky, or good teams find ways to win games, even if it's not in blowout fashion. And, I'm starting to think that they're really, really good. Now they're not unbeatable, obviously, but you can't make the kinds of mistakes that, will cost you in a close game, because if you're playing them, you're probably going to be in a close game.
I've been impressed with Jeff Hafley's defense. Chewy brought it up a little bit earlier. Are we in the territory of having to worry about Jeff Hafley starting to get some head coaching interviews?
Well, interviews maybe, but he doesn't want to go back to college, right? I mean, that's why he came here to begin with. So one year as an NFL defensive coordinator probably doesn't get you a head coaching job for a couple reasons. And one is that it's just 1 year, but two, you know, the offensive guys are going to get jobs before the defensive guys in a lot of places, right? And so I don't think that there's a whole lot of thought that he's going to be an NFL head coach next year. I think he could be an NFL head coach in a short period of time, but I don't think it's yet. I mean, unless they go to the Super Bowl and, you know, they have a couple shutouts along the way. But then the thing is, if they go to the Super Bowl, those jobs are probably going to be filled because teams don't want to wait.
How big of a loss is it going to be, Rob, if Watson can't go against Minnesota?
Significant. This is a guy who over the last, I think it's 5 weeks, now he didn't have a catch yesterday, so it didn't hurt his average, but he's averaging like 29 point some yards per catch, most in the league over the last 5 games, I think it is. I mean, there's nobody else that can do that. I mean, that's just that's an astronomical number. You know, I'm I try to read, you know, sort of the body language of guys that are hurt or get banged up in a game. I mean, he stood there after the game and talked to us for 6 or 7 minutes. And, you know, usually guys that are and they're hurt, they don't stick around and talk to us. Now, Watson's an exceptional interview. He's won our Tom Mulhern Media Friendly Player Award recently. So he didn't seem quite as concerned as maybe Matt LaFleur's quote was. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. But I'm sure he's probably getting the MRI right now, or at least on the way to getting it pretty soon.
Rob, is it a bruise, or is it they worried about something structural?
Well, he got it. The DB, two DBs really, one and 14 fell on his left leg. So I mean, that could be anything. You know, the good thing is that it was not a non-contact injury. Like, to me, that's the good thing in this whole thing.
The past two times I believe Matt LaFleur has spoken, he has said Jordan Love is playing the best football of his career. Do you agree with him?
I'm not sure Jordan Love agrees with him, because Josh, on Wednesday, you know, he sort of downplayed that, saying, well, it's similar to the way I was playing at the end of last year. I mean, the numbers were more spectacular last season. Now, the last five games, he's got 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's their 5th straight game with 30 or more points, but I felt like last year was more explosive, if that makes sense. And I could be remembering that wrong, but from a feel standpoint, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that.
Rob, is the management and coaching staff frustrated enough to move on from Jair next year?
Yeah. All you said was management and frustrated.
Yeah.
We were going fill it in.
Boy, something seems off there. I mean, I don't see how you can bring him back like this, not knowing, you know, it's a lot like the David Bakhtiari thing. Now, his pay next year, you know, isn't quite as it's not quite as big as Bakhtiari's was. I'm just looking real quick. I think he's, what is he, about 15, 16 million, which for a top tier corner is not ridiculous. Yeah, his total cash next year is 2025. Sorry, his total cash is 17.5, but it's mostly in base salary, 16.15 in base. There's no March roster bonus this year, so it's not like they would have to make a decision, you know, by the third day of the league year. Which also means they could possibly trade him if there was a taker out there. I don't know if there would be at that price. But I don't see how you can go through this time and again.
Is the frustration that the coaching staff and the medical staff aren't calling the shots, Jair's calling the shots? Is that the frustrating part of it?
You know, I don't know if that's the case. I mean, Matt LaFleur said, you know, they didn't think he could perform. Which is weird, because, like, I mean, you practice full two weeks in a row and you still don't play. All I can tell you, Chewy, is something is not adding up there, and I don't know exactly what it is. Okay. But to answer your main question, I think it would be very difficult under these circumstances to bring him back next year.
Rob, yesterday on ESPN.com, you released an article of Mark Bavaro talking about Tucker Kraft. I really enjoyed that. For those of people who have not gotten the chance to read it, and for our big guy here, tell us how that all came about and sort of what they talk about.
Yeah, so Chewy would probably, I mean, Bavaro.
He's my favorite. He was my favorite of all time.
I mean, he's a Boston guy, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
He didn't go to BC.
No, he went to the other Catholic school.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Real quick, back in, we were talking to Tucker Kraft at his locker real early in the season when he just started to emerge. And we were talking to him just about his mentality, about how he, you know, tries to run over people. And he just happened to mention that Rich Bisaccia, Packers special teams coordinator and New York native, who, you know, probably watched Bavaro play when he was living in New York, said to Tucker Kraft, you should look up film of this Mark Bavaro guy. And Tucker Kraft obviously had never heard of him. I mean, the guy played for the Giants in 1985. So I had thought about, like, boy, it would be cool to talk to Mark Bavaro about Tucker Kraft. And then I was thinking to myself, he probably doesn't even know who Tucker Kraft is, right? Like, it's not exactly a household name. So I sent a text message a few weeks ago to Mark Bavaro. It took me a while to get his phone number. And I sent him a message and I said, hey, I gave him the backstory, exactly what I just told you. Mm-hmm. And it took him up. It was about a week or two before he returned the text. And he said, yeah, I can talk to you tomorrow. This was on a Friday. This was last Friday, actually. So I call him on Saturday. And I figured he would just be like, you know, why am I involved in this? You know, what does it have to do with me kind of thing? Even though I sort of explained this, the premise. And to my surprise, Josh, that one of the reasons he waited to call me back or text me back was because he wanted to watch film of Tucker Kraft. Like, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like, I mean, yeah. A lot of guys in my business, you know, you can tell them what you want to talk about, and they don't give it a second thought until you actually talk to them. And the fact that this guy went out of his way to watch film of Kraft, and one of the quotes I thought was great was that Bavaro said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he said, he looks like a fellow traveler on the road to playing football the way it was meant to be played. And like that was pretty cool. Like one of, you know, probably over the last 3-4 years might be my favorite interview and favorite story that I've written about anybody. And like, I just think that was so cool. And I grew up watching Mark Bavaro, you know, and I think, you know, this Mark Bavaro, I didn't realize this or didn't remember this, that he broke his jaw in a game, went back into a game, caught a touchdown pass. And then, like, he only missed they held him out of the next game, I'm sure, against his will, and then he was back a week later.
Rob, great story about Mark Bavaro. Well, no, I don't know about a great story, but a story. So I was, I think, in my second year, and we're playing Philadelphia, because he went to Philly after he played for the Giants. And I grew up a Giants fan, and I loved Bavaro, Massachusetts guy, went to a Catholic school, loved him. So we're playing Philly, and I'm walking off the field, and I'm like, I'm never going to be able to play in this league, just kind of moping, walking off the field. And I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's Mark Bavaro, and I'm like, holy cow. He's like, you hang in there. He said, you're going to be a great tight end. One day, I've watched you, and just be patient. You're going to get. And I tell you what, I lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I can add to this. And I went back and watched Mark Bavaro myself. I'd never seen him. I had heard of the name, and it does look a lot like I used to watch Chewy and Tucker Kraft play football at the tight end position. So great job on that article, Rob.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you mentioning it. If it's still up on ESPN.com, probably. Buried under some of the game coverage.
Yes, go read it. There.
And I really appreciate it, because those are the kind of stories that just make this job a lot of fun.
All righty, Rob, one last quick question for you. Earlier today, Chewy determined that he thinks Gabe is a fraud for using a pellet grill Traeger. Is Gabe a smoking meats fraud for using a pellet grill that he can adjust and look at on his phone?
So that's pretty high tech. I'm not a smoker guy, but I did recently add a griddle side to my grill.
Oh, hell yeah. So griddle's for life.
I've added smash burgers to my grilling repertoire. And that was a big, so I don't know. I can't speak to the pellet grill though, but that does seem pretty high tech.
Seems like he might be sort of on your side there, Chip.
That's a yes.
All right, Rob.
Merry Christmas, Rob.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
Guys. So take care. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
That is Rob Domofsky. As we talked about, go read that article about Mark Bavaro and Tucker Kraft. We appreciate him joining us each and every week, and especially here on Christmas Eve. One more segment left, Chew. You going to make it?
I'm good.
All right.
I can go two more if you want. I know the station. We'll be in town.
We'll do a show just you and me together.
Call your bluff on that.
All right, we'll wrap up the show next. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A standout performance.
Love to the end zone. Watson spins his way for the touchdown.
A player who energized the team.
He goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for six.
It's time for the current electric superhero MVP of the game on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's put it in the air this time. It is touchdown!
Whether it's as small as a switch repair or as big as a whole home rewiring or even a generator to keep your lights on, call the superheroes from Current Electric. Go to callcurrent.com.
Play action, Rattler's in trouble, ball's out. Keyshawn Nixon had the pressure and forced the fumble.
Keyshawn Nixon is our current electric superhero MVP of the week. A guy who's been forced into a position playing on the outside, not playing what he's used to playing, and made, frankly, some impact plays. I've been impressed with his ability to kind of assume the role and at least hold steady until Jair hopefully eventually returns, Chewy. I've been impressed with his play, and I think that was sort of the proverbial dagger, as we would call it, last night.
Yeah, he's more than a kick returner, which yes. We thought that's why he's being signed. So, no. And they're going to need him. They're going to need him down the stretch because most of these good teams have three good receivers. So he'll be very important to stopping opposing offenses.
All righty. It was fun, Chew.
It was a fun ride.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening all year, texting in, all of that. This has been Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Willie and Tausch coming up next.